want him to play it for my funeral. And I always get lump in the throat because that's exactly it. Is there one sound? Oh, loving God, let it be a sound that rejuvenates, that erkvika, that means to bring life to his heart. It's a long story. You want to hear it? I was not popular. I was really an ugly kid. And I was someone that did all the... I got to be salutatorian. And I got to do all the candy sales and stuff because I was organized. So we took a test in the home ec department from a teacher that I despised, who despised me too. She thought I was laughing at her all the time when she was teaching literature courses. And I wasn't. I was laughing at the course. But you know, when you get somebody that's paranoid, they're going to be paranoid. So anyway, she let me take this test. It was administered by Betty Crocker. They were looking for the future homemakers of America. Well, I won the statewide competition. And I was probably the only girl in that class that was so unsuited for homemaking, never got married, never had children, but that was what allowed me to come to Montana.
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play.
By the time I had taken two voice lessons, I was singing operatic material, and it was clear that that's where my talent was. It was just obvious. Within the year, I had gone to the auditions and was, as a junior, was singing the Mozart Requiem with the Symphony Orchestra in Spokane, and I won the Met auditions in Spokane and Seattle, and was offered a niche with the Metropolitan Opera, the touring program, solo contract. And I had a Fulbright to Germany. I was granted a Fulbright. So I had to decide between that and the Met contract, and the guy I was engaged to was still dealing with the aspects of his divorce. So I figured if I went to Germany for a year, he would get rid of that and come back and we'd get married. Well, he cleared it up all right. He went right back to his wife. So I stayed in Germany. When the time came, they wanted to offer me a late life contract with this choir. But I also had discovered I didn't really like singing in choirs, and I didn't want to keep myself that healthy. I mean, I've smoked like a chimney. A lot of singers do. A lot of singers still do. It's a way of dealing with nerves. Performance anxiety. Some singers drink. I mean, they drink wine before each act of an opera. The only music I really don't like is country western. And it makes it sound that it's just that I cannot reproduce with any conscience. Generally, as a mezzo, you get to sing either the mother, which I'm not interested in, or the bad wife, the bad woman. In musical comedies, that I am interested in. Because bad people inevitably have more interesting things to do. But I also liked operatic stuff. And I sang Aida. I sang the big temple scene at the end.
Did you ever get married, Esther?
No.
You didn't?
No. I came close twice. Well, maybe even the third time. I had too much power. And it was too openly expressed. And at the same time, I tried in every way I knew to dumb myself down for it. To be a little woman, you know, and that's not what men want. I regret not having kids and not having a husband, mostly in my old age.
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground.
And then an accident, there was a car accident in 2000. And I was in the passenger seat. We were on a Dean's trip, and we were smashed into it, and I had a seatbelt injury right that way, and it crushed my spleen. So they had to do emergency surgery at St. Pat's. But it also damaged the vagus nerve, the nerve that is branched off like that. One branch goes to the heart, the other goes to the diaphragm. This branch was damaged, and my diaphragm was paralyzed. So all of a sudden, just overnight, I couldn't sing anymore. And up until then, I was pretty good. You know, I was a good singer, good mezzo. I was in the accident first, and then in November, breast cancer was diagnosed. And in a way, I hate to call myself, you know, an Old Testament-ish, but that's the question that you also examine when you get to be older and you wonder, why me? Well, why not? You know, and if it's me, how do you deal with having breast cancer and 14 operations in 1 year? And you sort of have to laugh and say, you know, whatever. I could be mokey, I could be sad, I could be bitter, but what's the point in that? I would make other people more miserable than I make myself. Teachers, especially in the arts, teachers are not just the people who couldn't make it professionally. In fact, if they were not good professionally, then they would never be good teachers. And it's a special talent, but I suddenly had to do it verbally and not demonstrate it. I couldn't demonstrate it anymore. So I developed a way of, I just had to sort of talk people through their voice lessons and describe the sensations. Like, when do you sing? What's it feel like? What does it taste like? What does your voice sound like? Is it cantaloupe or is it pecan pie? Is it rich or is it astringent, you know? Yeah, you develop ways of describing things. And it was clear in retrospect that that's what God intended for me to do, was help people sing. You know, and it really was sort of a benchmark, a sign that I didn't understand at the time, didn't even really understand until I thought about it, you know, that I was meant to get people to sing. And all you have to do in life, all you really have to do in life is figure out what's important to people, what matters to them, and help them achieve it. You have to have a cause that really matters before you sacrifice yourself in that endeavor. But do something that you can say when you're my age. You can say, I was there and I did that. And nobody can take that away from you.